Who is Grandmaster Sunho Lee's real boss? Find out in today's episode of the ATA Nation podcast.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation podcast.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is great to be back with you again this week. We are super excited to be on a weekly schedule now. How exciting is that? I think it's pretty awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a great episode with you. We have an interview with Master Aaron Lee, who is Grandmaster Sunho Lee's son, which I'm super excited about this interview because how cool is it to see the inside of the growth of the ATA, you know, being the son of a grandmaster, what's that like? Really interesting stuff in our interview today. But before that, I wanted to get to some upcoming events.
Here's what's going on in ATA Nation.
Well, this last weekend, I know I was at a tournament in Fort Wayne, Indiana, hosted by Miss Penny Betta Wolf, and it was a great event. I wanted to mention some of the tournaments going on because we're back. I mean, we get to be back at in-person tournaments. How great is that? There is a tournament April 17th, a Class A in Merrillville, Indiana, hosted by Master Candidate Wade. Let's see. Oh, 17th is also week 5 of the virtual tournament season. If you guys are doing that, make sure you register, get signed up. Awesome event there. April 24th, Class A in Atlanta, Georgia. Another Class A, April 24th in Kansas City, Missouri. We have a Class B, May the 8th in Hammond. And then a Class A in South Bend, Indiana, May 8th. It is kind of crazy to see tournaments in May. You know, for me, it's just something we never really did because, except for like Class C's, because you weren't allowed there. It was the new season started in June and May wasn't a big time to do that. But we've got, obviously, Nationals in Las Vegas, May 12th through the 15th. Going to be an amazing event. Another Class A, May 22nd, St. Peter's, Missouri. And then a Class A, May 29th in Phoenix, Arizona. And then we've got all of our district championships coming up. Super exciting to be back at tournaments. I know I had a blast this weekend with my ATA family at the Fort Wayne tournament. Hopefully you guys have been able to hit up some tournaments as well. Those are some of the upcoming events happening in ATA Nation. Of course, there is virtual training for the second quarter of the year as well. You can check that out at ataonline.com or atamartialarts.com in the training section. Let's get to our special guest interview today.
Special guest interview.
Well, ATA Nation, I am super excited to have with us today Master Aaron Lee. How are you today, sir?
I am excellent. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are really excited. Yeah, is this your first podcast interview?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
It is for most people I talk to. It seems that you know, podcasts aren't super popular yet in the martial arts world, but we're coming in and making sure everybody is subscribed and talking to us in ATA Nation. So, well, sir, I wanted to have you on because I've been seeing your social media posts about your dad. And if people don't know, your dad is Grandmaster Emeritus Sunho Lee. One, I love seeing pictures of him with your daughter. He seems to really be loving having another little baby around.
Yes, sir. She's she's got him wrapped, sir. I mean, she has me wrapped around her finger too. But you know, it's pretty funny. You know, he'll pretty much get her anything she wants, and if I seem to do anything wrong, it's like I'm a little kid again. He'll snap at me. No, don't do that here. No. She's too cold. Don't do that. You know, but, you know, he does it. I know he loves her, and it's pretty funny. So I enjoy it. I actually enjoy seeing him snap at me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, so that makes me wonder, what was it like, you know, growing up as the son of, you know, this martial arts, you know, master, who was kind of the second in line, you know, back in the day. What was that like? What was, you know, were you just immersed in Taekwondo all the time? Was there separation there? What was it like being a kid in that world?
You know, it was, I mean, there were definitely some things that I loved for sure. You know, I mean, I know that, you know, when I was really young, the school I went to was literally like two blocks away from, you know, the Taekwondo school. And, you know, if he wasn't able to pick me up, my instructors would pick me up. And you know, even then we were practicing safety too. We had a code word, even though I knew who the instructors were, they had to have a code word. And, you know, I would go to the Taekwondo school, me and my sister, Suzette, and, you know, man, we would hang out there pretty much all day long. Mm. You know, he had a fitness center too. And it was, you know, it was great because there was, you know, back then it was what, the 80s, you know, so there was a lot of other kids there, you know, different times. So, you know, I got to play with them. And then when class time came, it was, you know, time to go. And that, I'm sure, you know, it was very different too. You know, I had my father, my uncles as my instructor, and, you know, back there, wooden floors, no sparring gear. It was tough, but I very much enjoyed it for sure.
So I have a young daughter. You know, she's a year and a half. She's, you know, growing up at the Taekwondo school, some seeing kicking all the time and stuff. You know, I always hope, you know, that she will get into it. We'll probably make her at some point, at least for a while, do martial arts. Did you have a time where you were like, because you were so immersed in it, you were like, I just don't want to do this anymore? Or was that never an option? Was it always something that you wanted to do?
I mean, there were times I wanted to play other sports for sure. You know, yeah. I played football in eighth grade. And there were definitely times I wanted to take a little bit of a break and kind of, I don't know, I guess see what the other sports were about. But, I mean, to be honest, yeah, I mean, he really didn't give me a choice. Neither one of my parents did, you know, and I'm very thankful for that. But at the same time, I mean, some of my best friends were at the school. So, mm-hmm. And my cousin, Master Soul, was my instructor for quite a while. And so, you know, even though I wanted to venture out and do other sports and hang out with, I guess you would say, different people than the Taekwondo people, man, that was absolutely my home. And to be honest, if things ever got hectic and I ever had problems, just, I don't know, you know, kid problems, the Taekwondo school is where I would go, mm-hmm. you know, to feel at home and to feel safe.
Yes, sir. Cool. Well, I hope my daughter feels the same way. So what was it like, you know, with having your uncle be, you know, Eternal Grandmaster? Do you have any neat stories, you know, just a story or two from back in the day with your dad, your uncles, or, you know, something that people just don't know about or might not know about?
Oh man. Okay. So, you know, I know that, you know, people have heard the, you know, Grandmaster MK talk about how Grandmaster would make him, do, you know, kicks every night. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, of course I wasn't there at the school that late at night, but you know, we grew up in a house that, I know Florida doesn't normally have basements, but our house had a basement. And I can tell you what, I do remember sometimes late at night and even early in the mornings, I would wake up and I would go and I would see them training like early in the morning in the basement. You know, if anybody knows Grandmaster, my father, he knows, you know, he loves to train forms. And they would be down there doing every form, you know, and just, you know, to me, it was just cool to see. It was like the movies, you know. I mean, they were constantly training, you know, and I'm sure people see my post of me training, you know, and I think for sure that Grandmaster MK and, you know, my father, they ingrained that in me, you know, just by watching them do it, you know, constantly. My father would always train, you know, he had a Nautilus place, in the school. And, you know, it was pretty funny, actually. He would wear, I don't know if you remember those biker shorts.
Yes, sir. The two short ones.
Yes. Well, the tight ones, the tight biker shorts.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, he would wear the tight biker shorts and he would, you know, wear his ATA polo with his black dress socks pulled up all the way and, and his pine tree shoes, you know, and he would be, lifting weights. He'd be running in there. And man, I just remember, I was like, man, how is he wearing that? You know, but, yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, the always training attitude, man, I can tell you that they definitely had that. You know, my father's a big health nut. And I think that they definitely passed that on to me, you know, which I'm very, very happy for, because, you know, if I don't train, I kind of go a little crazy.
Well, and you can tell that's not, you know, the always training attitude is not just something they say, not because, you know, I love the video you had online not that long ago of you and Grandmaster Emeritus running up and down that little hill. And it just shows, you know, that this training attitude, you know, is something that he's still doing, you know. And how many people, even in just their 40s and 50s, are sitting on the couch, you know, can't move like that. You know, it just shows the power of what we do.
Oh, yes, sir. Look, I know about, I want to say it was about 8 years ago. You know, when he tells me these things, he doesn't really give me a choice. I'll be honest. You know, he called me and he was like, okay, Aaron, you're going to come with me to the cabin and, we're going to have a little retreat, you know? And I thought, hey, cool. You know, a father, son retreat, go to the cabin, hang out. And man, I can tell you that 10 days, I was actually pretty miserable. So he wouldn't allow any television. Every morning we had to get up at like 6 a.m. and ride away, do 500 sit-ups. And then he would actually make me read to him, you know, like self-help books. And then we would go hiking. We would go like do kicks in the river, do another 500 sit-ups. And we wouldn't get back until like, I don't know, I want to say 5 o'clock at night. And even then, no television. You know, and we fasted the whole 10 days. So,
oh,
and again,
word.
During that time, I was pretty miserable. But when I look back, you know, it was awesome. And I remember literally just watching him hike, you know, being so angry, but also thinking, man, how is he doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sitting here, I'm angry, you know, and he's all happy and he's like telling me to hurry up. And he's, you know, at that time, what? 73, and I'm just like, man, what is, you know, this guy's a machine. And again, you know, I hope one day that I'm that, you know, when I'm that age, I'm able to do that for my daughter, or, you know.
Yes, sir.
Maybe another. We'll see.
Yes, sir. Well, I know it's super inspiring for us in ATA Nation. You know, I did not get to get super close to Eternal Grandmaster, you know, and your dad was the Grandmaster that I got to train with the most before Mastership. Master Burns was really great and set up a training thing just for us down there in Atlanta in a cabin. And that is probably the thing that I remember most about my Mastership training. And now we get him back, which is in some ways, I think, is amazing for us in ATA Nation to have your dad back. But I think, man, what a sacrifice for him and for you and just his whole family for him to be coming back and helping out ATA. How's he feel about that? How do you guys feel about that?
So if I'm being completely honest, sir, my sister and I, we didn't want him to do it at first. You know, because, you know, he's older and, you know, obviously it can be stressful.
It's a lot of travel. You know, it's a lot of work.
Right. And he, you know, he was playing golf every day, getting to come see, you know, his granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, we had a talk and obviously, you know, with the pandemic and everything and just everything was very stressful,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a lot of ATA people and not just ATA people, everybody.
Yes, sir. The world.
Right. Yes, sir. And so, you know, once we talked and, you know, he was going to do whatever we wanted. I don't want to say what we wanted him to do, but, you know, if we didn't want him to do it, he would have said no. But he, once we knew that he could be a calming voice,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just a calming leader and a familiar leader, and we knew he could help, we were just like, man, there's no way that we can say no, you know. And so that was, yeah, I mean, that pretty much came down to it. You know, it was really just he wanted to be there for others. You know, that was 100% the reason why he did it, you know, and I can, you know, even though I stress about it, you know, I can lay my head at night knowing that, hey, man, he's doing it for good reasons and he's doing it to help people. So it's all good.
Yes, sir. Well, I know there are thousands out there in ATA Nation who want to thank you. Thank your sister for, you know, letting us have him back for a while. You know, hopefully we can, you know, keep it not too stressful for him. But you know, you're right. There's this, you know, the world is a little in chaos. Things are a little crazy and it is, you know, just great to see him again. I know for the Masters workout, the New Year workout, it was just great to have him back, you know, doing that Zoom workout, you know, kicking butt, It was awesome.
Yes, I very much enjoyed it. I, you know, you could tell he was back at home.
Yeah.
Just, with ATA, his ATA family.
Yes,
I
sir.
Mean, you know, I know he's very strict, but he is very strict because he does want the best for everybody.
Yes, sir.
You know, so.
it's great to have
him.
Does he have, you know, I mean, in ATA world, like he's the boss, you know, I mean, even when he was retired, you know, he comes into a room and you know, who's in charge. Does anybody get to boss him around? Is there, you know, somebody in charge of him?
Absolutely, sir. 100%.
Oh yeah.
So I have, you know, in Vegas, I want to say this was, maybe 2-3 years ago. You know, I don't know. I know some people know, but he got really, really sick while we're in Vegas. And he had to skip the hike, you know, and I actually, that was going to be my Mastership, the hike up, you know, and I had to skip it. You know, he was in the hotel room, and I'm sure a lot of ATA people know, you know, Chief Master Walkles is always kind of walking around with Grandmaster.
Yes, sir.
You know, Grandmaster, he promised me, he was like, I'm going to go to the doctor. And Chief Master Walkos gives me a call. He's like, hey, he's not going. And I was like, okay, I'm coming to the room. You know, and I come into the room, and Chief Master Walkos is sitting there. And I'm like, you know, of course, right then, I'm not saying Grandmaster, you know, it's
oh, yes, sir.
Kind of serious. I'm like, Dad, you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he might be a little upset with me, but he was sick, and he was kind of like, no, he was almost like a little kid, you know. He was like, no, I'm not going. I need rest. I was like, Dad, you need to go. I'm serious. And, you know, he kept fighting with me. And finally, I was like, that's it, Dad. I'm calling Suzette right now. You know, and I put my sister on speakerphone. And it was hilarious, sir. You can ask Chief Master Walkers about this. His eyes got so big because my sister, like, Dad, you better get up right now. And he was like a little kid. He was like, ugh. They threw the blankets off of him. He got up. He was like, okay, Suzette, okay. You know, and he got dressed. And so if anybody's his boss, it's absolutely my sister, man. That's daddy's little girl.
Oh, that is hilarious.
He listens to whatever she says. And of course, I'm the guy. You know, it's like, oh, my daughter's so sweet. And the guy, oh, you know, I get yelled at all the time, which I probably deserve too. So it's all good.
Yes, but sir.
Suzette is actually his boss. And now, definitely my daughter, Cora, she's definitely his boss too.
Oh, yeah. I just from the pictures, you know, that I see online sometimes, I can certainly tell that she's going to be able to get him to do whatever she wants.
Sir, I have no doubt about that.
That's super awesome. Well, sir, that is an excellent story to kind of end on today. I really appreciate, first of all, you just sharing your dad with us. You know, what a sacrifice, you know, your entire life to let us have him as part of our family as well. So I really appreciate that. And I just really appreciate your posts on social media as well. It's inspiring to see your training, to see your family, and Grandmaster Emeritus. It's always nice sometimes to see these guys that we hold up on pedestals as regular people then too, you know, to see them with their grandkids or to see them with family and stuff. So I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, of course. I got more coming, sir.
Excellent. Well, sir, thank you for your time today. Thank you for everything you do for ATA Nation, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. If you guys get a chance, ask Chief Master Wackles about that story.
Oh, we will most certainly have to do that. Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
What a great interview and, you know, a great story there at the end. I just love that. Also, what a great sacrifice. I am so thankful to Master Lee, his entire family, for the sacrifice that they have made of letting us, you know, have their dad as part of our family for all these years as well. It's just a great thing for us. And, you know, we are super thankful for them. So thank you again, sir.
Listener feedback.
Well, some of you guys have joined our Insider Club. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can join the Insider Club by texting us at 260-250-3975. And actually, I am working right now on scheduling interviews with the members of the Masters Council. I want to get each member of the Masters Council on the show. And if you are in the Insiders Club, if you text that number, I will be asking you guys some of the questions that you would like me to ask to the Masters Club members. So, or Masters Council, not the Masters Club, the Masters Council. When I get those schedules, I'm going to send out a text to the insiders and ask them what they want to ask, whether it's, you know, Grandmaster Caruso or, you know, Chief Master Wegman or Chief Master Ramundi or Chief Master Langren Lee. And you guys, we're going to ask some of your questions, but that's only going to happen if you join the Insiders Club, 260-250-3975. I got a great question from one of our insiders. Abraham is his name. Shaddix, I believe, is his last name. And he asked what I do personally to warm up for training. And I thought this was a great question. And it made me think a little bit because I'm getting a little older. And it takes me a little bit more time to get warmed up. I used to, just not warm up that much. I just get right into training. And now that's a little harder to do. When I, go do some running, I start with a nice little jog, nice little walk just to warm the body up. One of the things that I have started to do more is I have one of those percussion guns, Theragun or some of those other ones. And I use that. That's a great way to get the muscles loosened up and warmed up. I really enjoy that as a good warm up. I like to do a little foam rolling as well to get warmed up. And just a little bit of cardio, something to get the blood pumping before I start working out hard. But, it's really been a transition for me personally, as I've had to realize that my body is not as young as it used to be, that I have to take a little more time to warm up. That's rough to start with, but it's important to take care of the body. I want to be kicking butt just like Grandmaster Sun Ho Lee as I get older. So what do you guys do to warm up? Right? Let me know. You can text me 260-250-3975. Let me know what you do to warm up for your training. And then you can also send us feedback on our Instagram account. You can find us at ATA Nation Podcast. That's going to wrap it up for our episode today. Super excited to have you guys tuning in. We would absolutely love if you would leave a rating and a review on Apple, on Google, wherever you listen to the podcast. We would love a rating and a review. That really helps. And then share this with your friends as part of ATA Nation. We would love to grow the audience. We've got over 3,000 downloads already in just a couple episodes, and that is awesome. But we want to reach all of ATA Nation, so share this with a friend. And this week, make sure you are out there taking action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
A few more of you guys have caught on to this secret ending, and I'm really glad to have you stick around to the very, very end. When I got the question about warming up, what I do to warm up, it really was like an eye-opening thing when I was like, oh man, I am older than I was before, and I do really have to work on warming up more. And I know that right now I don't spend enough time warming up, and that can lead to some injuries. I know I've got one leg that's got some hip problems causing me some trouble, but knock on wood, my knees are all still good, which is pretty amazing for a martial artist of my age. So what do you guys do to warm up? Send me that message. Let me know. Okay. We'll talk to you guys next week.